Thank you for joining with us on this 31st day of January, this last day of January, and today, if the Lord wills, we'll read the last chapter of the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 40. And let us remember, as always, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In our reading now, the tabernacle is complete and erected, and everything is arranged just as God had arranged it. There's only one entrance into the tabernacle, and that is the east side, the door on the east side. And the altar of burnt offering is the first thing that you come to. And then the bronze basin, and these are in the outer court of this tabernacle. And then you enter into the first inner court, which is called the holy place. And in this holy place is placed the table of shewbread. That is the table for the bread of the presence of God. That's on the north side of the holy place. And on the south side of the holy place is the golden lampstand. That's a 7-branch pure gold candlestick. And then just right at the veil, separating the most holy place from the holy place, is the altar of incense. And this is a gold altar. And this is where incense was burned continually. It's the smallest piece of furniture in the tabernacle, but it served a very important role. That's where the high priest offered incense, and a coal of fire from the brazen altar was placed on this altar every morning and every evening. And this incense was vaporized by the coals of fire from the brazen altar. And then within that veil was the most holy place where the Ark of the Covenant was situated. The Ark of the Covenant with the mercy seat on top, with the two cherubims on either end looking down upon the mercy seat. And only one man entered once a year on the Day of Atonement. The high priest entered into this most holy place, and there he sprinkled the blood of a sacrificed animal, a pure spotless lamb that had been examined to be sure it had no sickness, no disease, no spots, no blemishes. And the blood of that animal was sprinkled 7 times. And all of this now is complete, and Aaron the priest is consecrated, and him and his sons. Now the priesthood is exclusively made up of the tribe of Levi, and the glory of the Lord fills this tabernacle. And that's what we'll be reading about today. This tabernacle, this was the place where God dwelt among His people. And the blueprint for the construction of this tabernacle was followed to the nth degree. Nothing was left to human design or origin. And God raised up skilled craftsmen and gave them the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding to work skillfully on the construction of this tabernacle. And God tells us that the women were also wise-hearted. They also were given wisdom and talent. And they did spin with their hands and brought that which they had spun, both of blue and of purple and of scarlet and of fine linen. And all the women whose hearts stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. And they sewed together the curtains that made up the veil. And they made the garments for the priest. And we read in Exodus chapter 39, from verse 21 through 31, all the sum of the materials that was necessary for the construction of this tabernacle and its furnishings. And all of this material was given as freewill offerings from God's people. And somebody has estimated the amount of raw material that it would have taken to build all of this. And we read about the sum of the tabernacle, even of the tabernacle of testimony, as it was counted according to the commandment of Moses for the service of the Levites by the hand of Ithamar, son of Aaron the priest. and all the gold that was occupied for the work and the work of the holy place, even the gold of the offering, was 29 talents and 730 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. And the silver of them that were numbered of the congregation was 100 talents and 1,703 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. And all of the brass and all of the silver and all of the cloth that was needed, the blue, the purple, the scarlet, all of this material was given to the Israelites by the Egyptians as they left out of Egypt after the Passover in retribution for all the years they served as slaves in the land of Egypt. And the people gave of this material as a freewill love offering for the construction of this tabernacle of the Lord. Somebody estimated that it would take 3 tons of bronze, 4 tons of silver, 1.25 tons of gold, along with an unnumbered amount of precious stones and fine fabrics and dyes and huge quantities of oil. And what an industrious sight this must have been, as all the craftsmen and the embroiderers and the apothecaries did their job, with Moses being the chief servant, the chief minister. God called Moses the minister. He didn't call him the administrator. He called him the minister. And God said that Moses was the meekest man alive. And Moses, a man who his father-in-law Jethro had taught how to delegate responsibilities. And God raised up people and called them by name. And Moses delegated areas of responsibility. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, had already taught him how to delegate responsibility, because a person with as much responsibility as God had placed upon Moses could not have accomplished this without the help of thousands of God's people. And the very first person that God provided to help Moses was his own brother, Aaron. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, who became a Jewish proselyte, that is, he became a believer in God also. Jethro had given Moses good advice, a father-in-law to a son-in-law. Moses was trying to do all of the work himself in all the legal matters that comes up and all the civil disputes that comes about with a nation of at least 2 million strong. And Moses found himself spending all of his time arbitrating civil disputes. And Jethro taught him how to delegate. And Moses learned how to take the advice of his father-in-law Jethro, who had been a priest of Midian. And Jethro had some wisdom here. And Moses learned early how important it was to delegate responsibility. And it paid off in the construction of the tabernacle. And we read in chapter 39, the garments for the priest. And the priest's garment included the ephod, and the breastplate, and the robe, and the embroidered coat. This is known as the cloth of service, to do service in the holy place. And the ephod was made of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet, fine twined linen. And these colors represent something. The color blue represents heaven. The color purple represents royalty. The color gold represents deity. And the color scarlet, that represents the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these garments were embroidered with figures of gold. And this ephod that you would see, this was the outer garment that the priest wore. And it was connected by a golden clasp on each shoulder. It was a two-piece garment. And on each clasp was an onyx stone containing the names of 6 tribes. One on his right shoulder, one on his left shoulder. All 12 tribes, their names was engraved on these onyx stones that were on each clasp. And then underneath that ephod, the priest wore a breastplate known as the breastplate of judgment. This was a square piece of cloth that covered his chest. And it had 12 stones set in gold with the name of the 12 tribes engraved on them also. And on this breastplate were 2 stones that were put in this breastplate of judgment. And I call it the Urim and the Thummim. But these two words, they literally mean lights and perfection. And the Bible says, they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord. And Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. Not a whole lot is known about this Urim and this Thummim today, because it's been obsolete for so many years. But the word Urim, that means light. And the word Thummim, that means perfection. And so that tells us literally that these stones of the breastplate were clear and of perfect beauty. The Urim, the clear stone, is a picture of illumination. And the Thummim, perfection, that symbolizes the spiritual illumination and perfection that is in Jesus Christ. And some kind of a way, a supernatural way, these two stones revealed to the priest the will of God. These stones that were placed in a pouch and put in the breastplate of judgment right by the priest's heart. When the priest needed spiritual discernment on a matter, these stones were used to determine the will of God. Now this is obsolete now, because now we are in Christ. And when he went to the Father, he did not leave us comfortless, but he gave us the Spirit of Truth, the Comforter, which has come. And it's the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, that guides us into all truth. For he does not speak of himself, but whatsoever he hears, that he speaks. And he shows us the will of God. Jesus gave the promise of the Holy Spirit. He told his disciples, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of Truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And when Jesus ascended to the Father, he told his disciples, tarry here in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And he said, wait right here and don't do a thing until that Comforter is come. And on that day of Pentecost, Peter stood up and he said, you men of Judea and all that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken unto my words. These are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit. And they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. And this promise was not just for the 120 there present on the day of Pentecost. The Apostle Peter said, this promise is also unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And this Urim and this Thummim is a symbolic picture of the spiritual illumination and the perfection that is in Jesus Christ, given to us by the Holy Spirit. And we have His Spirit that communicates to us the truth of God and His Word. And then under this breastplate of judgment, there was a robe called the robe of the ephod. And this was a blue seamless garment that was worn underneath the ephod and underneath the breastplate. And it was larger than the ephod. And its hem of the garment extended down below the hem of the ephod. And in the hem of this garment were blue and purple and scarlet pomegranates and golden bells which tinkled as the priest served in the tabernacle. And these golden bells were necessary when the priest went into the holy place, when he went into the most holy place, to do the work of a mediatorial high priest. It was most important that he live and not die. It was most important that that sacrifice, that yearly atonement, was accepted by God. For if it had not been accepted, there would remain no more sacrifice for the people's sins. So it was important that that high priest remained alive inside of the most holy place. And he was behind that thick veil. And the only way the worshipers, the congregation, could know that he was alive while he was going about his duties was they would listen and they would hear the ringing of the bells. And they knew by the ringing of the bells that their sins were being atoned for. And they knew by the ringing of the bells that their sins were covered for another year. There used to be a song that we would hear sung. It was called, "When They Ring Those Golden Bells for You and Me." And it went something like this. "Can't you hear the bells now ringing? Can't you hear the angels singing? It's a glory, hallelujah, jubilee. When they ring those golden bells for you and me." That's how the people knew their sins were forgiven, because the bells were ringing. The priest was alive. And we also have a great high priest who ever liveth to make intercession for us. And then on the priest's head, there was a fine white linen turban headdress. I call it the mitre. I'm not real sure the correct pronunciation of this. It's spelled M-I-T-R-E. And there was a plate made out of pure gold that was put on blue lace and placed on the front of that mitre. That mitre, which was a turban, it was a diadem. And on that plate of pure gold, encased in blue lace, and placed on that fine white linen turban, mitre, diadem, whatever you want to call that thing that the priest put upon his head, but engraved in that pure gold signet was the words, "Holiness to the Lord." And we must ever be reminded that our God is holy, and his priest must be holy. And of course, Christ is our great high priest exalted. But we are also priests consecrated to the Lord. In this new covenant, he hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to whom be glory and dominion forever and ever. He has made unto our God kings and priests. And there's a lot more to be said about us being priests. A lot more requirements for the priest, and a lot more to be said about us being kings. And as we look at the requirements, and as we look at the responsibilities of the priesthood, bear in mind that we are also priests. We believe in the priesthood of the believer. A tenet of the New Testament church, the priesthood of the believer. And all that attend in the service of God must have written upon their foreheads, engraved in gold, "Holiness to the Lord." By the way, that's in all capital letters. Holiness to the Lord. And this is not just a signet that we wear. This is not something that's just painted on us. It's not something that we just put on with our clothes. It's not something that we put on and take off. This is something that without, no man can see the Lord, because he alone is holy. But this is something that he imputes unto us. And the priest, when he was ordained to the priesthood, he had to be washed with water. Then he had to be clothed with the priestly garment. And of course, we must be cleansed of our sin by the washing of the water of his word. And we must be clothed in our priestly garments also, which is the righteousness of Christ. And the priest was also anointed with oil. And we must also be anointed with the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit being symbolic of the oil, of the holy anointing oil. And in the New Testament church, every believer is a priest. And as he which hath called us is holy, so we are to be holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, "Be you holy, for I am holy." And these stones, these onyx stones, and these other precious stones that are talked about that make up the priest's garment, let us also know that we are lively stones, built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. As we continue reading in the scripture, and we read about Nadab and Abihu, we'll see that this priesthood is nothing to be taken lightly. And as the Apostle Peter tells us, all of these symbols, all of these shadows, all of these types, all of these figures shall be dissolved. And when all of these types and all of these shadows are dissolved, what is left, what all of this symbolism teaches us, is what manner of persons we ought to be. Holy in conversation and godliness. And the priest was to identify himself with the sacrifice. He had to lay his hands upon the head of the sacrificial ram and identify himself with it as a substitute for his sin. And the blood of this animal was placed upon his right ear, his right thumb, his right big toe, his garments, and on the altar. And there's a lot of symbolic meanings to be placed upon this. But concerning the consecration of these priests, there is some gracious promises that are attached to this. And we see this in Exodus chapter 29, verses 44 through 46. God said, I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest office. And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. For they shall know that I am the Lord their God, that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. And let us bear in mind that Egypt is always a picture of the lost, unregenerate, a picture of the world, a picture of the ungodly. And the children of Israel represents the elect of God, the chosen of God, the saved, the saints. And God says, I am the Lord their God. And the writer to the Hebrews tells us very specifically that no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. All that are employed for service to the Lord must be sanctified by the Lord. The phrase that's used here is filling the hand. Thou shalt fill the hand of Aaron and his sons. This is the consecration. And the apostle to the Hebrews, speaking about this, he said, the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore. And we are a nation of priests. We must have our hands filled. We must be consecrated, never forgetting that Christ is our high priest. And this consecration lasted for 7 days. And thus shalt thou do unto Aaron and to his sons according to all things which I have commanded thee. 7 days thou shalt consecrate them. And their consecration was not completed until the end of the seventh day. And in the consecration of the priest, every day a bullock was to be offered for a sin offering. And we must know that those sacrifices which were thus offered day by day to make atonement could not make the comers thereunto perfect, for then they would have ceased to be offered. And so as we look at this, thank God for His continuing revelation to us. Thank God for the writer to the Hebrews explaining this to us. The writer to the Hebrews tells us, for the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, and never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But this consecration of the priest was a shadow of the good things to come. And our Lord Jesus Christ, the great high priest of our profession, called of God to be so, He hath consecrated forevermore. He hath clothed us with His holy garment. He has sanctified us with His own blood. He has made us perfect. That is, He has consecrated us through His sufferings. For it became Him for whom all things and by whom all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. And we, as believers, we are all spiritual priests to offer spiritual sacrifices. We are washed in the blood of Christ. And so He has made to our God us as priests. Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. All this that we read of the consecration and the ordination of the priest was only a picture, was only a shadow. He identified Himself with the sacrifice. We also have been washed from our sins in His own blood. They had to lay their hands upon the head of the sacrificial ram. And Peter, in his sermon on the day of Pentecost, he said, "You have taken by wicked hands, have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that He should be holden of it." They had to take the blood of that ram and put it on their right ear, on their right thumb, on their right big toe, and on their garments. And we are washed in the blood of the Lamb so as to be made to our God priest. They were clothed in a beautiful robe. We also are robed in the beauty of holiness. We also have received this anointing. And this anointing which we have received from Him abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in Him. Let's remember what the priest's garment included. The ephod, the breastplate, the urim, the thummim, the robe, the mitre, the coat, the girdle, the linen breeches. And it's time now for us to read our scripture for today. We'll talk more about this some other time, but let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh Lord, thank You for Your glorious, wonderful salvation plan. And as Your glory fill that tabernacle, one day soon Your glory will also fill this earth again. The Apostle John wrote about this. He saw a heavenly vision of this while he was on the island of Patmos. And he wrote about this, and he said, "I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God." Thank You, Lord Jesus Christ, that You came to be our high priest, to make intercession for us, and to appear in the presence of God for us. You ever live to make intercession for us. Thank You that You are King of kings. You are Lord of lords. You are our great high priest exalted. Bless us as we read Your word today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Exodus chapter 40. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "On the first day of the first month shalt thou set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation, and thou shalt put therein the ark of the testimony, and cover the ark with the veil. And thou shalt bring in the table, and set in order the things that are to be set in order upon it. And thou shalt bring in the candlestick, and the light, the lamps thereof. And thou shalt set the altar of gold for the incense before the ark of the testimony, and put the hanging of the door to the tabernacle. And thou shalt set the altar of the burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. And thou shalt set the laver between the tent of the congregation and the altar, and shalt put water therein. And thou shalt set up the court round about, and hang up the hangings at the court gate. And thou shalt take the anointing oil, and anoint the tabernacle, and all that is therein, and shalt hallow it, and all the vessels thereof, and it shall be holy. And thou shalt anoint the altar of the burnt offering, and all his vessels, and sanctify the altar, and it shall be an altar most holy. And thou shalt anoint the laver and his foot, and sanctify it. And thou shalt bring Aaron and his sons unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and wash them with water. And thou shalt put upon Aaron the holy garments, and anoint him, and sanctify him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt bring his sons, and clothe them with coats. And thou shalt anoint them as thou didst anoint their father, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office, for their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout their generations. Thus did Moses, according to all that the Lord commanded him, so did he. And it came to pass in the first month, in the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was reared up. And Moses reared up the tabernacle, and fastened the sockets, and set up the boards thereof, and put in the bars thereof, and reared up his pillars. And he spread abroad the tent over the tabernacle, and put the covering of the tent above it, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he took and put the testimony into the ark, and set the staves on the ark, and put the mercy seat above upon the ark. And he brought the ark into the tabernacle, and set up the veil of the covering, and covered the ark of the testimony, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he put the table in the tent of the congregation, upon the side of the tabernacle northward, without the veil. And he set the bread in order upon it before the Lord, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And he put the candlestick in the tent of the congregation, over against the table, on the side of the tabernacle southward. And he lighted the lamps before the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he put the golden altar in the tent of the congregation before the veil. And he burnt sweet incense thereon, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he set up the hanging of the door of the tabernacle. And he put the altar of burnt offering by the door of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. And offered upon it the burnt offering and the meat offering, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he set the laver between the tent of the congregation and the altar, and put water there to wash withal. And Moses and Aaron and his sons washed their hands and their feet thereat. And when they went into the tent of the congregation, and when they came near unto the altar, they washed, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the hanging of the court gate, so Moses finished the work. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation, because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel, throughout all their journeys. And that completes our scripture reading for today, and that completes the reading of the book of Exodus. Thank you for joining with us. If the Lord wills, we'll be back with you tomorrow. And remember, until then, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.